Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
By the way, I just wholeheartedly agree with Lima.
This is my literal take what Ken said. He is saying exactly what I'm saying. Now you're a more talented... OKC is a little... I'm iffy on that.
Now, he threw out either. I don't know if he...
I don't know about either. But
I think Ken was kind of tossing both them in there. I don't know that you're beating the Oklahoma City Thunder this year. But yeah. I still don't think you were beating the Pacers. Like, every reason as to why you lost... Not every reason. Let me pull that back. A lot of the reasons you lost to the Pacers last year, or this postseason, had nothing to do with the fact that you were just straight up hurt. Like, DeAndre Hunter and Evan Mobley missed... one game apiece in that series. Yes, they got banged up. I thought Evan looked mostly the player that he was pretty much the entire series. The ankle didn't really seem to bother him all that much. I thought DeAndre Hunter probably took a game to sort of get going, but ultimately, like, was still a shooter out there. He was still helping you. Yes, Darius played a major issue in how the Cavs offense functions, and I'll live on that hill until I die. Everything else that I saw out of the Cavs was... not a matter of, oh, we're injured and we're not as great as a team. It really boiled down to the fact that the Pacers outplayed you in every facet of the game. The Pacers were the more clutch team, they were the better defensive team, and they actually worked as a unit together. And their players on the bench had a defined role. If you look individually one-to-one with the Indiana Pacers, I'm not questioning who the more talented team is. I agree with Ken. The Cavs are the more talented player-by-player team. But that doesn't matter in this case because you know what? The players who are quote, more talented did not show up. Like in that individual series, Aaron Nesmith, Andrew Nembhard were more talented than just about anybody on the Cavs roster outside of Donovan Mitchell. They were a better performing team, and that's what it was. They performed better. Yes, they should be a better team. If you constructed the rosters right now and told me to pick one, I told you what I thought about that. Prior to the Cavs and Pacers series, I think the Cavs are the better team. They don't beat the Pacers. They don't. There's nothing they can do. Jared Allen disappeared and was a non-factor. The Cavs bench disappeared from what was such a strong unit all year long and became very little factors. Ty Jerome was not nearly the same player. And a lot of the other guys you look to on the bench as well. Dean Wade, Isaac Okoro, and you could turn to Sam Merrill and everybody beyond. Dean Wade did not perform. DeAndre Hunter, barring injury, did not perform great against the Pacers. I think this is more than just, okay, it was one team talented. Like, would the Cavs still have a chance if they were healthy? Absolutely. Do I think they actually win the series after watching Indiana play? I don't. I don't think that they even really have a remote chance because the problem with the Cavs right now is that they're an 82-game team. In the regular season, they look great. That team is not built for playoff success right now. You have to do something. Part of that might be switching up the core four and what I think Jared Allen's a major problem and issue to address. And a lot of that's probably reconstructing the bench. They are a better constructed team. And when I talk about individual roles that the guys off the bench have, they all have, you know what they come onto the floor to do. Again, TJ McConnell comes off the bench to be a scrappy player. Play good defense, still help the offense move while he's out on the floor and Tyrese Halliburton isn't. And you could also turn to guys like Benedict Mathurin. Again, stifles you defensively and played a very good offensive series. Like they all know exactly what it is that they're supposed to do. They went and got Thomas Bryant, filled in the backup big man role impeccably. Did everything he can do, was shooting from beyond the arc, and outplayed Jared Allen pretty much in that series on a minute-to-minute basis. Obviously, Jared played a lot more time. But like Thomas Bryant was the pretty much better center in that series. They are a team that is built like a puzzle, where the Cavs are, let's just shovel the best talent into a furnace. We talked about this 2 years ago. We've been talking about this with this team. It's never a question of how much talent they have for me. It is a question of how that talent works together. They started to figure out the core four problem of how do you work with two small guards? How can you get two big men to function on the court at the same time? The bench still never came together. You don't have a bench that is a cohesive team with a real plan. You just have talented players on what is relatively good contracts coming off that bench. I want to get you guys in on this, though. 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones. Richie is in Cleveland. What's going on, Richie?
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. I got some thoughts here. You know, the old saying, you know, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. You know, Indiana's playing good as a team. They got super red hot right at the perfect time. Halliburton is hitting so many incredibly, miraculously lucky shots. It's unbelievable. You know, the Cavs were nicked up and hurt. I think the Cavs are better than Boston. The Cavs are better than – and I think they, on a healthy night, I think the Cavs are better. The only thing they're lacking is – and here's the thing. You know, I know it's fun to talk about getting rid of Allen or Garland or something like that. But if you're going to make a sideways move or get somebody who's 85 cents on the dollar ability-wise back – just to get rid of those guys in the hopes that it'll magically create a better chemistry. I just don't see that happening. I've heard some other national commentators say that the only thing the Cavs really need is an enforcer. Guy doesn't have to be an all-star. All he's got to do is come in for 15 minutes and wear down the opposing team's bigs. Somebody that isn't afraid to get in the paint and bump and bang and get rebounds and throw some elbows if necessary and add some toughness to the Cavs. It'll be easier to get somebody like that than to try and figure out how to trade one of your core four guys away. The Cavs have plenty of offensive firepower. They just need some muscle in the paint, and that's my take on it, man.
And Richie, I feel like part of that is part of the problem too, and I appreciate you making the call. I feel like they do need that as well. Again, that's like more so the bench aspect to me. Like, you need a guy that does that. Absolutely. They're missing a toughness factor. Like, if Indiana was lucky, right? If I looked at them and just said, hey, the Cavs sort of series in a nutshell, or I looked at them and said, okay, the New York Knicks series just in a complete vacuum, you might be able to chalk it up to Indiana being lucky. Post All-Star break, Indiana was tied basically with the Cavs to be the best team in the Eastern Conference from that point on. They were a great team post All-Star break. They walked in and they've now done this against Milwaukee. They've done it against us. They've done it against New York, and they're continuing to do it against the Thunder. You might look at some of these shots as lucky, and don't get me wrong, as many NBA teams do, there is a part of this that, yeah, they luck into some shots, but every team does. Yeah, I'm sure we could go in and sort of pick out a handful of shots that the Cavs made, and you'd be like, oh, those are lucky. Indiana's just making them in the big moments. Indiana hits them when it's clutch opportunity, but when they do it over and over and over again, the aspect of luck is taken out of that for me. This team didn't just get hot for the playoffs. They've been hot for the last 3 months, again, because I think they're set up to be a successful basketball team. It comes down to the same thing. Like, yeah, the core four is mega talented, but I don't think necessarily moving out Jared Allen for somebody that is, you know, quote unquote 85 cents on the dollar is always a sideways move. Because you get less talented does not mean that your basketball team gets worse. You can look at teams across the last decade in the NBA. The Brooklyn Nets with Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. Yes, part of it health, but also that team is really talented. You also had three ball-dominant players. Incredible talent, not going to win basketball games. Let's get some more calls in here. Roy is in Akron. What's going on, Roy?
Hey, how we doing?
Doing good. How about you, man?
All right. So the question was, could we beat them in the finals? And I played ball all my life, AAU, high school. That was as far as I could go because I'm average size. But the answer is no, not at all. And I didn't know this till I watched our series, but then more. And it is as simple as this. Indiana is filled with gamers. Now, what does that mean? And anyone who's played knows what I'm talking about. The brighter the lights are, just the better they play. And what I mean is I started looking after our series. I didn't watch all the games, but I'd get on my app the next day and I'd look at the stats, specifically 3-point. And 4 out of 5 games, they will have one bad one where they might shoot like 30% from 3-point. But I swear 4 out of 5 games, you go down the line, 1 for 2, 2 for 4, 4 for 8, 3 for 4, 3 for 4, 5 for 6, 1 for 2, 1 for 1. It's incredible. And it's their whole team. You know, that's where we failed in the LeBron years and even this year. And it's okay. Most guys, you know, like when we played and Strus had that talk before, but he was 0-for-9, you know, 1-for-4. I'm not saying, but like Obi Toppin, Miles Turner, TJ McConnell, Nembhard, the other guy, I forget all. I mean, it's incredible. They are gamers. They love the tough games, the brighter the spotlight, and they just don't wilt. Like I'm saying, all their bench, even if they shoot 3 threes, they almost all make 2. Or at least 1 for 2 if they take 2. You know, it's incredible. And that's why they keep coming back, because nobody shrinks. The whole team's like, we're down 15 in the fourth. I'm a gamer. You give me 4 shots, I'm hitting 2 of them. And that's all I'd really like to say. It's really an incredible thing. I've seen very few teams that had that many gamers on it. Thank you.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Roy, and I completely agree with you. Like, it is a team that is built, like, you can say gamers, you can say they have a clutch gene, but it is a matter of fact that when they come up and the lights get bright, that team gets better. And we talk about the Cavs, and you've heard reporters around Cleveland say it. I think we've heard national reporters say it, not all of them, but some. I mean, like, the Cavs need to get better, and you've heard themselves say it. They aren't mentally tough. Part of being mentally tough is that exact thing that Roy's pointing to. That, like, when the lights get bright and when you get to the level of the playoffs, that team starts to show up. And they manage to hit their shots. And where it feels like they're consistently getting lucky, at some point, you can't just chalk it up to luck and say, okay, well, that team's just doing the same thing over and over and over again. That's not luck at that point. They show up and they hit the big shots. That team is downright incredible. Like, and they shouldn't be on paper. But when you have everybody there and everybody shows up and you have a coach that is coaching you into an ability to do that, they win games and they continue to win series. And it's not just 1 year. We didn't just watch Indiana go on a crazy run this year. They were also in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Like, do I think they're a roadblock? No, not necessarily. Do I think that they're a team that's a pushover either? No. Like, they are on par with the Cavs if they get better, if they don't, because that team's always going to be in a series. They're never just going to wilt away. Get at least one more of you guys in here. Laurel's in Ashtabula County. What's going on?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Doing good. How about you?
Good. You want to stay on the Cavs, or can I do a general synopsis real quick?
I mean, we're talking Cavs, so if you have that, we'll start there. I'll let you throw something at the end if you'd like.
All right. So real quick, Cavs, yeah, the owner's done a great job putting the money to it. The system's messed up with the money and the caps and all those different crazy penalties, but they play good. They put people in the seats. But now they want a winner. They want somebody to go in there, and they don't care if somebody's hurt. The bench has to step up. And what the guy just said about Indiana, it's so true. Real winners win when doesn't matter. Who's on your team? They win because they win. And that's just what it comes down to. And we walked in there, and now I hope Indiana wins. I hope they win the whole enchilada, because that just makes us look good, but also proves us we don't need to chop the team up. We just need to want to go in there and win. It doesn't matter what your name is. You want a guy that was clutch time. You can win 82 games, great. But the last games of the season, you got to win. The Cavs fan want a winner. The Browns fan want a winner. The Indians want a winner. Yeah, it's great to fill up the seats. great to have some national media talk to you, but it comes down to who's going to settle the plate with what we have to use. If what we have to use is banged up garbage cans, that's what we're going to play with. That's it.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you, Laurel. Did you want to throw something in really quick at the end here?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, the Browns, they grab Shador to trade him at the end if Kevin can't make it happen, and also have the national media up their butt. And then the Indians, I love the manager. I love the other team. They want a winner. They want somebody to go in there. It doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter. Which club's got all the money? Well, the Indians don't spend any money. So the money's not the issue. The issue is, do the teams that step up the plate get down? And the Browns be thrilled with an 8-8 season. Browns fan, for the rest of their lives, be thrilled. The rest of their life. But we don't have that because we can't make it happen with this guy, that guy, that guy. Just go out there and just run the football and just get it done. Please just get it done. Thank you.
Yep, appreciate the call, Laurel. I just think, again, I mean, I don't know exactly where he's going with the winners win thing, but yes, like, it is at the end of the day. Like, I think what he was more getting at was agreeing with Roy previously of, like, a team just finds ways to win. Again, if you guys want to jump in, 216-474-0092. We'll see if this conversation changed Jack's mind at all coming back as well. We'll get to the station buzz right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on the Fan. Right now, we'll get to the station buzz coming up here in just a few minutes, but we got a real Jackson to the conversation. A lot of you guys chiming in, and I want to make sure I got you guys in. But I mentioned it in the beginning of the show. If you guys are regular listeners, you know, Jax has an opinion. Feels like the Cavs still better than the Pacers. Jax, you hear a lot of the calls come in. I lay out a few points. Do we feel like, are we arguing different things, I guess, is the way I would
go. I think we are arguing very different things, yeah.
Because, like, I don't disagree with you. Like, on an individual, if I throw player-to-player basis, like, they're more talented.
Yeah, that's my whole point of thing. And in my mind, if you're a more talented team, there's no reason you should be losing to a team. Like, that's just how I think. But I know in basketball, it's all about the team. I think Darius Garland, now finding out that he needed surgery on that toe, and I hate making excuses like this, but, like, if he's healthy, I think that makes so much more of a difference for this team. Like, the offense was abysmal.
Yeah, I mean,
during that series.
Well, game two, when Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter were out, was, I mean, they should have won that game still somehow. But, like,
yeah,
the offense, especially down the stretch when they were tired, but even without, was so stagnant.
And if Darius Garland's in that, you have another ball handler to pass the ball into that can, other than Donovan, who's literally dying, collapsing on the floor.
I just, again, like, yes, the Cavs are the more talented team, but we can look at it and be like, Indiana's built in a way that every single player and their team cohesion on the floor. Like, the Cavs have great chemistry.
Rick Carlisle plays a huge part in it. Like,
no
doubt
about it.
The biggest part, in my opinion.
But I think you do just have players on that team, too, that, like, you talk about the Cavs not being tough. I think through the course of this playoffs, we've learned the Indiana Pacers are anything but not tough. Like, TJ McConnell yesterday was absolutely absurd, and he's been very good throughout the playoffs. And you can go and look and pick out, you know, Aaron Nesmith, Andrew Nembhard, Benedict Mathurin, every single guy has finished through tough plays. They have not broke mentally. They have not bent mentally. It doesn't matter. Down 20, down 6, 1 minute to go, an entire fourth quarter to play. They somehow still managed to play their top game, which is something you certainly cannot say what the Cavs did in the playoffs. Against Miami, not really, because you just blew them out. But
yeah, and I hate, like, yes, against Miami, they were so, so good. But I also hate making that comparison because everyone's just like, Miami's not a real, they weren't a real team.
No, and they're not.
Yeah.
I mean, you blew them out for a reason. Like, that
but
team was.
Before the series, everybody's like, oh, Miami, you know, the culture, all this, they're going to push the Cavs. And then we dominated them, and then everybody was like, oh, I mean, that doesn't. So there's that point, too, where everybody was expecting Miami to, like, some people were picking Miami to take it to 7.
Well, those people were probably highly intoxicated and inebriated in some way. But
I'd have to agree, yes.
Yeah, but, like, again, it's just a thing of, like, Indiana was underrated, and I think this team right now you look at is in a much different light. Let's real quick squeeze one more call in here. Jim's in Strongsville. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, guys, toughness might be the absolute only thing you can take from this series. Listen, Indiana is on a magical run. Magical runs are wonderful, but that would be like investing in lottery tickets for your 401, you know, for your retirement. That's just not feasible. Indiana's not going to be this favorite next year. They've trailed by more than 19 points in more than half of their playoff games this season. They've only been in the lead for like 3 minutes in this whole series in the finals. Look, it's not a sustainable way to win. They're on a magical run. God bless them. I hope they finish it off. God bless them. Magical runs are fantastic. But they're certainly not something that you look at and say, yeah, I'm going to build my team that way. It's just not the way you do it. I mean, I get it. I think I compare them to the Pistons team that won it with Chauncey Billups. I think that the team was a good team. They were tough. They were whatever. But you couldn't sustainably win that way. And I see the same thing with Haliburton. He's a good player. He's not transcendental. He's not ever going to be one of your top five players in the league. He's a solid player. He's like Chauncey Billups was. God bless him. Good for him. He's going to make big shots. He's going to come through in the clutch. But at the end of the day, he's not going to put the team on his back and carry him. I mean, so I think it's great. I just want to temper people's expectations. They're like, well, we can do this because, you know, we just play good team. Look, the NBA for the last 40, 50 years is about the superstars. You got a superstar, you're going to win. And actually, for a less talented team, which I think Indiana truly is less talented than a lot of the teams they've played, to get through a win, that's very rare in the NBA for that to happen. But that's more of a reason to say this is just a magical run. It's a blip on the radar. This is not something that we should be looking at and saying, oh, the Cavaliers should do that.
Yeah, and Jim, I mean, honestly, we agree on that in some way, and I appreciate the call. Like, I don't think this is necessarily just, like, manufacture your team this exact way. I also think, hey, if we're talking superstars, like, the Cavs also kind of lack that firepower too, though.
I did like Jim's comparison to that Pistons team. That's, like, a very – because how many people think the Pistons were actually a better team than the Lakers with Kobe, Shaq, Gary Payton, Karl Malone?
Yeah, no, you really don't.
Granted that Karl Malone and Gary Payton were nearing the end of their careers, but right. Still, like, prime Shaq and prime Kobe.
Yeah, like, I don't think you really think they're better, but there's just a way that you look at this. Like, yes, and do I think that Indiana can sustain to play this style of basketball the way that they've trailed and come back, though? Like, that is not something that you can say, well, they're going to come in next year and do the exact same thing. Like, I've talked about it. They feel like a team of destiny. Again, I think that was a lot of Jim's point, is like, I just phrase it a different way. It's like, they just find ways to win games, and it's incredible. But I think there's also something there of, like, if they don't find themselves down by 20 in every game next year, a lot of what they do on the other side is repeatable.
Kind of almost like the weird comparison, but the Guardians of last year, like, they just found.
Yeah, I mean, they led the league in one-run games that they won. Like, that's one of the main metrics in baseball that you look at for a team success from 1 year to the next year. The advanced analytics take that heavily into account of, is this team going to repeat? And a big reason you see the Guardians sitting at near 500 in the projected wins.
It was the Vikings last year or 2 years ago also with Kirk. They were like 14-3, but they won the most one-score games in the league.
Yeah, it's like, that's not repeatable. Yeah. Again, this might not be repeatable, but I don't think that Indiana finds themselves in another series where they're down 20 every single game either. Like, in a following year, obviously this year.
Yeah, no, wild. I don't think they'll ever be, like, a team that just gets steamrolled.
Yeah, like, I think they're going to be competitive. I think if this team figures out the early woes and falling behind like that, then they're super dangerous. All right, let's get to a very, maybe an abbreviated version, but we're still going to have some fun with it. The most pressing thing said by our station's guest today, with the station buzz. All right, let's kick things off. Jack's brought up the Guardians. Let's talk Guardians. Al Pawlowski, Guardians TV, on today with Afternoon Drive, and was asked if yesterday was a turning point for the Guards.
It's like, all right, we just saw the absolute best start we're ever going to see from a left-hander this year, most likely, right? And on top of that, we got some calls that didn't go our way. So just nothing was going our way. And then on Wednesday, they broke out. Everything came together. They pitched well. They hit well. They played good defense. So now maybe they can roll that into the West Coast trip now as the schedule does get, I don't want to say easy, but easier than facing the Red Hot Reds, than facing the Yankees, than facing the Dodgers, than facing the Tigers. And they're facing some really good teams here this last month, month and a half.
Yeah, they were, but like it gets a little easier right now. June and July are still two tough months for the Guardians and the months where you have to decide what you are as a team. I just can't look at 11-run performance in a 162-game season and be like, ah, they're going to flip the switch. They all had a really good day. Hopefully the offense takes a step from that. They take a learning experience from that and use it as momentum. But it's not like it's going to be, oh, well, the Guardians are a 500 baseball team. They scored 11 runs against the Reds. And now they're a team that wins at a 750 clip. It's, right. It might be a momentum. It might take them a series or two, but they're going to have to find a way to be a better offensive team, which is just not built into their DNA. They just aren't a team that hits the baseball very well, and it's going to continue to look like that until it doesn't. Let's talk a little Browns here as we get ready to talk to Dan Lobby coming up in about 9 minutes. Mary Kay Cabot, this colleague over at Cleveland.com, on with Ken and Anthony this morning, and broke down, are the Browns better than people think?
Do you think that the Nationals are underestimating the Browns roster just a little bit? When I look out there, I do see a little bit more talent than I think some of the Nationals think this Browns team has. And I think that's because of that 3-14 record from last season, which had so much to do with giveaways and quarterback issues. And there will be quarterback issues, of course, again this year. But if they can get clean quarterback play, that's the most important thing. If they can get clean quarterback play where they're not throwing it to the other team all the time, then they should be able to win some games by virtue of their turnover battle.
Now, better than national people think, I think is a very odd question because Vegas has yet 5.5 wins. Do I think the Browns are way better than 5.5 wins? No. Like, I don't know where we're trying to manufacture wins for this team beyond 6. Are they going to be better than doggone awful and win 2 games this year? I think so. But I think where national people have them is just about correct. Like, not being a good team, only winning a handful of games, like, that's probably where you sort of fit on this. And I don't really know how you overcome it in a year this year. The quarterback play is not going to be good. You didn't make massive improvements. You're just going back to a Stefanski offense. And probably still going to be a team that misses the playoffs. I think that's the overarching theme. Worst team in the NFL? Maybe not. Really bad team in the NFL? Almost undoubtedly so. Herm Edwards, former coach, good old Coach Herm, on with Afternoon Drive. Who he expects to win the job for the Browns at quarterback?
I think at the end, especially when the preseason starts, he's going to find a way to beat those guys out. That's just my opinion. The eye test tells me at the end of the day. Now, I've known him since he was a little kid. Mm-hmm. But I just think his makeup, what he's all about, felt like he got slighted in the draft. And I will agree with him. He did. But when you meet the kid and you meet what he's about, he's a pro. He knows how to do things. He goes about it the right way. So I just think when the lights come on and they start playing in the preseason, look out. I think he's going to do good.
Now, I think that Shador does look good when the season eventually turns around. And, like, the preseason, I think, is the time where you really find out. But when you look at Shador, like, more than training camp, I'm not saying it's more than the regular season by any means, obviously. But when you get to real games, that's going to show you, okay, is Shador more than the 5th-round pick he was actually valued at? Can you actually look at him to be a guy that can eventually take over this job and hold it down? I don't think he's going to win the job. I don't think he takes it week one. But I think you get a better feel at where you're at in the quarterback room. I'm hoping that Shador puts on a little bit of a show and actually starts to look like a true quarterback at some point. Looks good in training camp, but yeah, so did Kenny Pickett when he was in Pittsburgh, right? Like, I can't take too much away from mandatory minicamp and everything else. It'll all be shown on the field in the preseason. I think that's a very underrated tool that we're going to have for the Browns in a quarterback battle, is what they look like when you're actually between white lines and there's a whistle. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. If you're looking to talk Cavs, we're going to be talking Cavs later on in the show, probably somewhere in the 9 o'clock hour. But coming up here in about 5 minutes, Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, going to help us break down the end of mandatory minicamp for the Cleveland Browns. Again, at 8 o'clock right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.